Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland at almost 10 o'clock in the morning. And coming up next after these announcements is Air Cascadia with Chris Andre.
Tune in Tuesday, November 8th for KBOO Community Radio's live election night coverage. We'll be broadcasting from 5 to 9 p.m. with news headlines, election returns, analysis, comedy, and the Mood Ring Report. We'll have the KBOO News House Band live, featuring the saxophone percussion genius Shoehorn and the best musicians in town. We'll also be checking in with our alternative radio news partners in the Oregon Media Association around the state of Oregon. This year, we're crashing the Willamette Week's party at Grand Central Bowl. Check that out. Always independent, always fingers on the pulse. Our news crew will be watchdogging the FBI itself, as well as the political parties. So don't miss it. That's Tuesday, November 8th, from 5 to 9 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, Election Day 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM on the web. And of course, as the world knows, it's Election Day in America. And the only people who are more worried about the outcome than Americans are perhaps Palestinians. It's not going to look good for Palestinians, Syrians, or other nations in the Middle East who right now find themselves in deadly conflict as a result of American intervention. Yeah, we brought them democracy, and that's pretty much what they got. If you judge the definition of, you would define democracy by what we see here in the United States, a war of words in this country is only a hair's breadth away from actual war. The appearance of civil war in the United States, something that I've wondered about for years now, what it would take. There was an article in Harper's Magazine, perhaps six, seven years ago, in which a panel of geopolitical analysts took up the question of what it would take to foment civil war in the United States. Some of the ideas, some of the scenarios they described back then looked dangerously similar to conditions on the ground here. Later tonight, as the results of the election come in, KBOO reporters, citizen journalists will be out ground-truthing in the political environment. the slopes of Mount Portland. Joining us today is our guest is Stephen Zunis. Stephen has been a frequent guest on Air Cascadia, and as our listeners know, Stephen's a professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco, where he's also the coordinator of the program in Middle Eastern Studies. He is one of the country's leading scholars of U.S. Middle East policy and strategic nonviolent action. We're going to be speaking just momentarily. We wanted to touch the earth with our feet for a moment and take a look at the weather today. Increasing clouds. We've got a high 65, and tonight a 50% chance of rain, but that's coming in a bit early on. Then we've got lows around 52 and calm winds. Tomorrow it could be a bit drizzly in the morning, partly sunny, highs near 62, and tomorrow night partly cloudy and low around 51. Okay, that's it. We hit the weather. We want to also mention that we hope to have a conversation with Rania Khalik. She is also a knowledgeable analysis. She's associate editor at the Electronic Intifada. Need I say more? I will. And a co-host of the Unauthorized Disclosure podcast. I don't believe we'll be able to get her out today, but we do have Stephen Zunis, and we are going to take up the question of what this election looks like from far away. We often, as far as perspective is concerned, sometimes it's better to take a look at things at it from a distance. That said, I want to just mention we've got the Nestle Gourd. Nestle is back pounding away at the gourd, trying to avail itself of water there. We have a drought pretty much every county, every summer. We have warming waters as a result of human activity all down the Columbia River Gorge and its river systems. Why on earth would we do this? Why would we turn over the last good spawning stream in the region, especially when it's not ours to turn over? We're second nations, let's not forget. First Nations have first call on the water systems here. It's theirs. It's their habitat. It's their bioregion. It's their water. We come second. And that said, moving over to Standing Rock Camp, the Osage-Sequin, there's more action there, more than I have time to tell. Reports coming in, popping up from all over that area around the pipeline. The company is going ahead, pounding that through, despite the fact that the weak effort on the part of the White House to stop it, and various other objections which are being heard now across the country. But right now, Stephen Zunis, welcome to the KBO Airways. Just so glad that you could join us today.
Good to be with you.
Well, this is from the people that you speak with on a regular basis, and people in that region. What are they? What are people talking about? For example, in Gaza today.
Among Palestinians and others in the region in general, it's kind of a depressing day. Not only, ironically, as disappointing as Obama's Middle Eastern policy has been, I think people know that they're going to be looking back with nostalgia at just how moderate he was compared to either of his possible successors. The joke among Arab Americans, was the idea that you get to choose someone who wants to ban your relatives from visiting you, or someone who wants to bomb the crap out of your relatives.
Of course, Trump
would do the same thing, only worse. The Republican Party, for example, does not support the Palestinians' right to self-determination. No Palestinian state. They say that that their platform specifically challenges what they consider the false notion that Israel is an occupier. In fact, the only mention of Palestine in the entire platform is in the environmental section, where they call for the United States to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement because it includes Palestine as a state. A Democratic platform that was pushed by Hillary Clinton over the objections of Bernie Sanders and his delegate talks about supporting Palestinian statehood, but only through direct negotiations between Israel and the Palestine Authority. In other words, no involvement of the United Nations, no involvement by anybody. And basically, the so-called statehood would only be on the terms set by the Israelis, which, of course, wouldn't mean any kind of viable state at all. They refused to even mention the occupation or illegal settlements, but instead the Democratic platform praises Israel's values of democracy, equality, pluralism, and tolerance, which certainly would be news to Palestinians. Meanwhile... Trump and Clinton have called for escalating the U.S. Military role in Syria. Both parties have called for strengthening U.S. Security cooperations with these brutal family dictatorships in the Gulf, such as Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and others. And rejecting any kind of provisions around human rights. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton does not just support the Israeli occupation. I mean, she's even done photo ops at illegal Israeli settlements and condemned the World Court for noting the illegality of such settlements. She supports Morocco's occupation of Western Sahara as well, and that brutal occupation. Though I certainly am one of those who believe that there's the threat of the fascism in the form of Trump and his supporters is enough so that those in swing states should probably support Hillary Clinton anyway. The fact is that those of us who care about peace and justice and human rights, international law in the Middle East, are going to have our work cut out for us, whoever wins today.
It seems that the growing fascism, let's just say the word, in this country, the power of a disgruntled that would be putting it mildly, part of the electorate, part of our demographics, that is going to put pressure on either whoever is elected to keep out foreigners and whenever possible, bomb them in place. If we bring them here, we can't bomb them. So leave them there. That way we can bomb them, and build walls and so forth.
It's disturbing to be sure, but the good news, I think, is the fact that Hillary Clinton, who was such an ardent supporter of Bush and Cheney's goals in the Middle East, supporting the Iraq war and opposing withdrawal for so many years, has been forced to finally acknowledge that it was at least a mistake. She hasn't apologized, but at least she's said it was she erred. And Trump has actually tried to rewrite history by claiming he opposed the war when he actually supported it. The fact they have to both bend over backwards to separate themselves from the invasion is a good sign. Also, the fact that as bad as they are in Israel-Palestine, there's a recognition that the American public is shifting. In fact, one of these leaked emails shows Hillary Clinton's advisor saying she shouldn't even mention Israel in public gatherings, only with wealthy fundraisers who tend to be more conservative, because she realizes the Democratic base very much opposed her hawkish support for the Netanyahu government. So I think it's important to remember, as at least as important as who we elect is the choices we give them. And we've seen how on Vietnam, on the nuclear arms race, on South Africa, on Central America, on Iraq, on East Timor, the American public have been able to force candidates to or elected officials to change their positions, particularly if they're Democrats. I mean, at least the Democrats, there's the hope that you can change them, whereas the Republicans, it's pretty hopeless.
We got just a couple, less than 2 minutes left, and that is exactly what I want to talk about now, is whoever wins, what about closing Guantanamo? Is that completely off the table now, or where will that go?
I think the biggest hope is that Barack Obama, as a lame duck, will figure out some way where he can take executive action unilaterally to close it. So it won't be anything that his successor will have to worry about.
And is that is in fact in his power to do?
It's debatable, but my interpretation is yes, it is.
But he
didn't want to take the political risk. He wanted to do it through Congress. It would give him political cover, but they weren't willing to do that. So he delayed. But I think if he had his way, he'd certainly end it. And he's a former constitutional law professor. I think he could probably figure out a way he could in fact do that.
You could run circles around them. The constitutionalists. Stephen Zuss, it's been a pleasure speaking with you once again. Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Dr. Stephen Zuss, Professor of Politics and International Studies at the University of San Francisco, also the coordinator of the program in the Middle Eastern Studies. And this has been a Cascadia for Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, Election Day 2016. Engineering for us today is Judy Feistel. Thanks, Judy. Derek Crooks is our KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, we'll have a special live radio play, Calvin Coolidge Goes Crazy, on Thursday, November 10th at 7 p.m.